Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Stephen Mosso, on this Thursday, December 27th. In this episode, we're going to be discussing a little bit about Coach Gase and what the future holds for the Miami Dolphins. We also have a little interview with Brandon Howard of The Athletic that will be featured towards the end of this episode. So, to start it off, I had several expectations before this Jaguars game. The first one was that Tannehill would seal his fate, which I think he did, and I don't think he has a future with the Miami Dolphins come 2019, and that is what is being reported as of right now. But then I also believe that if the Dolphins had a lifeless performance, which they ended up having, I thought that heads would roll. I thought the Dolphins' entire front office and coaching would be changed. But Armando Salguero right now is reporting that the Dolphins are expecting to keep Adam Gase for the 2019 season, and I am a little bit concerned with this news. And let me tell you why, because I think the Dolphins should start fresh entirely. What worries me are certain scenarios, one of them being that Coach Gase drafts a quarterback in the first round, which I would love if he was no longer the coach. I would love a first round quarterback being taken despite it looking like a weak draft class. But with Coach Gase being the coach, if he ends up having a poor season in 2019, you're going to have a new coach taking over the leftovers and not having the guy he wants. And that's a narrative that I do not want to hear. We hear right now with Coach Gruden and Derek Carr in Oakland that Gruden didn't want him as a quarterback. We saw it with Gase taking over Tannehill and kind of having that cockiness, but also confident feeling that he could make Tannehill into something. I would rather have a coach pick his guy so there's no excuses and be able to build his team however he would like. I would like to have a coach ship away players right now so we can start building towards a future, because what I see right now, if we stick with Gase, there are going to be several players that need to stay in order for him to keep his job. He is going to be playing for the now, of course. He is going to need to succeed now, and that means he won't be planning to the future because he knows that he will likely not be part of it if he isn't excelling now. And sometimes in order to look good for the future, you have to ship important key parts away so you can get some assets in return. And the way I look at it, if Tannehill indeed doesn't return, Gase is here for 2019, we could expect a very similar season, at least in my mind. We're going to get a veteran quarterback potentially, somebody who isn't going to be too much better than Tannehill if you look at the market. And if that indeed ends up happening and Gase has another subpar season, then that just prolongs the inevitable. It's kind of a band-aid that I think should be ripped off right now, because if Gase fails in 2019, we draft a quarterback in 2020, then we're really looking at 2021 where the team starts to be competitive, because of course a rookie has never won a Super Bowl. But I would rather just rip that band-aid off now and potentially get the coach we want, start shipping off the assets so we can be competitive in 2020, especially when you have guys like Josh Allen and Sam Darnold who are still young in the league and the Patriots are declining. But if we wait too long to the point where Josh Allen maybe potentially establishes himself in this league, or Sam Darnold starts to establish himself and they get Le'Veon Bell, then those teams are just going to get better. The Patriots could potentially re-up and get another quarterback, and everyone could have a step ahead. It seems almost like everyone is getting a head start on the Dolphins because they are not willing to let go of this mediocre slash average mentality that they have right now. I think they should just rip this band-aid off so that they can start looking ahead and competing for the best spot in this AFC East. Now, one of the key arguments for Ryan Tannehill, one of the main reasons people are scared to move on from Ryan Tannehill, is that people will say that, well, who is going to replace him? We can't just find anyone to replace him. Well, if you look at Tannehill's stats right now, he is 40-some in the league when it comes to pass attempts per game. He is not throwing the ball too much. On average, his ball travels through the air 5 yards, which is in the bottom quarter of quarterbacks quarterbacks in the NFL, and then he is throwing around 170 yards per game, which is only above Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. So when I look at that, that is really not demanding too much of a quarterback. That is a hole that is really not too hard to be filled, as people make it out to be. This is a guy, I believe if you put any first-round quarterback who has upside in that position where they don't have to throw the ball a lot, they don't have to throw it through the air a lot, and they're really not even expected to move the chains that much, then yeah, of course they could replicate what Ryan Tannehill has been able to do. I think people look at Brock Osweiler and say, no, look how bad he was and look how good Tannehill was. Well, remind you, Brock Osweiler was a quarterback who was cut from the Cleveland Browns before he ever took a snap. He is not a good quarterback, and that is not the comparison you should be making when you say, look how good Tannehill is. Tannehill should be significantly better than what we saw with Osweiler, and I don't think he was significant enough. I think a rookie can do what Tannehill was expected of this season, which was not really that much. So I don't think it's a big deal when you look ahead at rookies filling this hole that Tannehill left behind. I think a rookie who is taking in the first round should be able to do it, but what we have to look at is whether this will be in the 2019 draft or the 2020 draft. There are a few guys in the 2019 draft that I like a lot. Of course, the first one being Kyler Murray. Whether he chooses to play football or not, it seems like financially it is not going to be as bad of a decision if he chooses to play football. In fact, it could work in his benefit, being a top 10 overall pick in the draft and being a quarterback that could get him a huge sum of money that equals or exceeds what he could get in baseball. That would be a nice pick if the Dolphins do indeed choose to go that direction. But one guy that I like a lot, and this was kind of introduced to me by Chris Kaufman of 3 Yards Per Carry. You can follow him on Twitter. That is at CK Parrott. He has been posting a lot of highlights of Easton Stick. He's a quarterback out of North Dakota. This guy has a pro level arm. And after seeing what he has been posting and what he has been saying about him, I am 100% on board for that hype train. Easton Stick looks tremendous. He looks like he has a quarterback arm, and I love the upside that is there. So yeah, I am entirely on that hype train. I am 100% on board if the Dolphins indeed choose to go that direction. But of course, I would want that to happen with a new coach. I don't want a new coach coming in 2020 and saying, oh, I would have loved to have one of these guys. I would have loved to have Tua, but instead I'm stuck with our 2019 first round pick. That is not what I want to happen. And that is going to end my bit. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. I have a podcast of my own that is at Via the Source, if you would like to follow that as well to hear more from me. And of course, remember to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And check DolphinsTalk.com for all the latest news on the Dolphins. Now, I send you to the interview again that we have with Brandon Howard from The Athletic, and I'll hand it over to them right now.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Brandon Howard, who is a contributor to The Athletic, writing about their fantasy football and such like that. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Long time, no hear from. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime, you're always welcome. So there's a lot going on right now in South Florida with the Dolphins. With one game left, it's another season with no playoffs. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors and there's some reports from the Miami Herald that Mike Tannenbaum most likely is gone. Ryan Tannehill is gone. But the status of Chris Greer and the head coach Adam Gase still up in the air. Not quite sure what's going to happen there. Just let's start off with the guys from the reports that we know who are most likely gone, which are Mike Tannenbaum. Let's start there. Right. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that that'd be a good move. I think it'd be necessary to kind of start at the top there. And, you know, get a fresh start, you know, get someone that is definitely going to take the advice of your GM and then everything kind of trickle on down from there. So I think it would be a good start to start with Tannenbaum and see what you can get in that VP spot there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's been some names sort of rumored and stuff like that. Everyone from Marino to Don Aponte possibly making a return. Obviously. I'd be careful about those two. One, Marino, no experience, and I think that's just a big mistake. Aponte is almost like moving backwards. It's like been there, done that. Although it would not be the same role still. You want a fresh voice, a fresh vision, I think.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. And as far as the whole Dan Marino thing is concerned, I think you get to a point where, you know, certain players, no matter how great they were, Because they were great doing things a certain way, there's an unwillingness to look at things from a different perspective. And Dan Marino was, you know, he could give you mobility in the pocket. He had that. But he was a guy that mostly was a pocket passer. So what happens when a guy comes along that has a different skill set than Dan Marino did? Is he going to be willing to kind of jump on a guy like that and say, you know, he can still help us win? Or is he going to look for a guy that kind of had his skill set? So that would be my concern in that area. Is he going to be able to adjust to the way that the game of football is, evolving?
Yeah, and I look at it as something else, is that if you put him in that spot in 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, or less maybe, if you have to move on, you don't want to fire a legend who played for your team. It's never good with the fan base. That's why you look at someone like Jeter. He took over the Marlins. The Yankees never have to fire Jeter, okay? That's never going to be an issue for them. You look at even Michael Jordan. Never took a spot with the Chicago Bulls because you don't want to fire a legend. It's just that's the last thing any franchise wants. You can have him in a role like he has now. That's fine because he doesn't have any power. But so, yeah, that one. If they go outside of the organization, there's been names like – George Patton with the Vikings, who I'd be on board for in a second. Yep.
Yeah.
And also
Trent Kirshner.
Yep. And you also have the one from the Patriots, Nick Cassaro, someone like that.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on someone like one of those guys possibly?
I think that the track record of a guy like George Patton is excellent. You know, you look at what he was able to do. Yeah, and also, I'm going to throw a name out there that's kind of outside of the box. Reggie McKenzie. I understand, you know, what he was and where he was beforehand. But you look at his track record and what he was able to do in Oakland. I think that he would be a guy worth considering for a role like that. And just being able to be in that guy's presence and have an opportunity to talk a little bit of football with him, you know that he knows what he's looking at. And then from the business side of things, he's gotten the a chance to get his hands on that. And I think he would do the Dolphins, the Dolphins would be well served taking a look at a guy like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he got a raw deal with the Raiders because the Raiders, when they signed Gruden, I mean, they handed him all the power. So it was just a matter of time before John brought in his guys. And it was, So that is a name, I would keep an eye on as well. Let's talk about Chris Greer. It sounds like he's going to survive this no matter how it shakes out. And, you know, I think most fans don't have a problem with that. They like him and the work he's done. What are your thoughts on Chris Greer?
That's another guy that I am very fond of. I like Chris Greer a lot. I think, you know, from a lot of the beat writers, the guys on the beat, you'll talk to them and they'll say, no, Chris Greer's got to go as well. I'm not in favor of that. I would love to see him stick around. You look at the guys that he's drafted, the Dolphins have gotten considerably more athletic at their skill positions on offense. And then on defense, you have a defense that can match up to, teams that kind of like to say, play what I call positionless football. You know, you got guys that, motion in and out of the backfield. You got, tight ends that are move tight ends that move from, in line to outside. And the Dolphins have the pieces in place to be able to defend against those type of offenses. While I understand that hasn't worked quite well right now, I think a lot of the issues have, to go to the way that the players are being utilized. And I wish that, the Dolphins, a lot of fans, I wish, they would kind of pump their brakes on calling a lot of these players busts, like the Gesickis of the world and the Charles Harris's of the world, because these guys aren't being used properly.
Yeah, I could sort of see that, especially with Charles Harris, who I think belongs in a 3-4. I think he's just out of position in a 4-3 type defense. Which then you can also question why was he selected knowing that we run a 4-3. But either way,
irrespective of scheme, you can still utilize him, whether it's a 4-3 or a 3-4.
Oh, absolutely.
He needs to see the field. There's ways to get around and circumvent like some of his weaknesses or perceived weaknesses, and this coaching staff is not doing it.
Yep, and the one thing I'll say too about Greer, if anything, however this shakes out, and it sounds like there's going to be a few changes, but he is going to survive this, it sounds like. If anything, he should be given more power, I think, instead of less.
I agree.
If anything, he should 100%. Be given more power, not less. So that's one guy. Let's talk about the head coach, who I know we could probably talk about for an hour, but let's try to keep it shorter than that. I'm Coach Adam Gase. God, you know, some weeks, there are some weeks where you go, you know, he's got it. He understands it. And then there's some weeks you go, what the heck is he doing? Because it is very much head scratching. The 2017 season or the 2018 season's got 1 week left. What are your thoughts on Adam Gase this year, and should he be back?
I honestly don't think so. I think that in any event that you bring him back, he's going to give you more of the same. And the issue, in my opinion, with Adam Gase is that he has there's a problem with the way that he assesses the talent that he has on his roster, and that leads to him not being able to utilize them or put them in the right spots to thrive. I recall one conversation with Gase, and I asked him about Jay Ajayi. This is when Jay Ajayi was back on the roster. And he says, oh, what really surprised me was his wiggle and his footwork and his elusiveness. And I kind of scratched my head at that because I go back to the tape at Boise State. There's nothing about Jay Ajayi that says elusiveness, wiggle, footwork. And so there's some things that are lacking with him. I think that he needs some help in order to put players in the right spots to thrive. Do I think Adam Gase could become a good head coach eventually? Yes, but I think that at this juncture, he's in a little bit over his head.
I'm right there with you. It's been a rough year for him, I think. A rough year. Last year, everyone could chalk it up with, well, they lost their starting quarterback, and it is what it is. And yes, in 2017, you can make that case, and they only won six games or whatever. Fine. 2018, this was more than just guys getting hurt. I mean, there was head-scratching moments. Definitely. Some of the things he said to the media in those press conferences just came off either as clueless or I don't know. It was weird.
It just seems to be a lack of self-awareness at times. Also, you know, you don't go into, you know, no matter how many excuses you can potentially throw at the wall, you don't go into a room full of reporters and start handing those excuses as to reasons why the season didn't go as expected. And I kind of cringed when I heard some of those things. And I wish that he didn't do that, because he's better than that. Adam Gase is better than that. He's a good guy. I just think that at this point, he needs to do a little bit more reflecting and maybe a little bit more time as an assistant. Before he gets his next shot there.
Yep, I agree. And the one thing you never hear from him after a game, and you hear this from almost every head coach at some point. Well, there's that, but after a tough loss, they go, guys, this one's on me. And they protect the team, and they just say, blame me. You never hear that from Adam Gase. He never goes, this one's on me. He's always pointing out fingers of someone else who failed. And it's like, God, just fall on the sword once. Just to protect
emblematic
your team.
Emblematic of that was when he talked about protection issues. Well, yes, there's that. Those things happen. But at the same time, there was one where on third down, obviously you're expecting blitz. He gave his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, who he loves, he gave him no hot read. I'm sitting there, I'm watching that. I said, there's no check down. It was just all verticals, and you have to wait for that to develop. The end result was a sack. You can't do that to your quarterback. So there's things that he's doing schematically that just aren't appropriate. It's egregious, and he's going to need some time to kind of sit down and reflect on those things.
Yep, absolutely. And, yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. I don't know. I'm just going off what the people who are there are reporting. And it sounds like he's safe, but I think a rough loss this Sunday at the Bills could change that. And I think they might be in store for a rough loss this Sunday, because I think that's a team right now who the last thing they want to do is hop on an airplane, fly up north and play in the cold in a game that means nothing. So I think they're in store for a rough loss this Sunday. And if it's a rough loss, and by rough, I mean they're not even in the game, essentially. We'll see what happens with Gase, because I think that one's still up in the air. I really do think it's up in the air. Let's talk about the quarterback. You got the quarterback. It was reported by Armando Salguero after Sunday's game that he won't be back in 2019. Which I'm all for. I mean, I don't know how you bring him back and expect anything to change. What are your thoughts on Danny Hill and him not being back in 2019?
I mean, I think if you're Ryan Tannehill, you thank God that you've lasted this long.
Yep.
Especially without giving him any considerable, you know, competition, anyone to compete with in camp. We've had 7 years of the same guy. It's at a point where you say, okay, we're not going to see anything differently from him, and you move on. And so he's lasted long enough. I think this fan base deserves a little bit better than that. Ryan Tannehill, I think that he could be a serviceable backup in the NFL, you know, but a spot starter. But I think that's about it when it's all said and done. When you look at a quarterback that has not elevated the talent on his team over the years, you see quarterbacks that come in and right away, you know, they kind of put their team in the right direction. You know, you look at what a Baker Mayfield is doing right now in Cleveland. You look at what, Sam Darnold's beginning to trend in the right direction. You look at what Lamar Jackson has done in Baltimore. You got to have a quarterback, a trigger man, where it all starts, that's going to help galvanize that unit and have them in contention. And Ryan Tannehill for years just has not been that guy.
Not at all. And, you know, I hear some people say, well, you can't make change just for the sake of change. I think this is a case where change for the sake of change is actually needed. It's just you need something new in Miami. And I think for him as well, he has some potential. He can play a little bit, Tannehill. And I think if he were to end up in Washington, if he were to end up in Jacksonville, if he were to end up with the Giants and have him compete for the job with somebody else, you know, maybe right. He will raise his game and maybe he'll be okay. He's never going to be great. Right. But maybe he'll be okay. And I think for him and I think for the Dolphins, a split is really needed at this time.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, right now, what he is, I mean, you could use him as a bridge. If the Dolphins want to keep him around, use him as a bridge for a younger quarterback, that's great. You know, go ahead and do that. But you cannot, it would be a, you know, definitely a blow to this fan base and this franchise if they go into next season with Ryan Tannehill as their starter. Their lone starter. So
yes.
Something needs to change with this franchise as far as the quarterback position is concerned. And I think that one quarterback could definitely help change the future of this franchise. And hopefully, if Dwayne Haskins does go ahead and declare for the NFL draft, that's the one quarterback they should target.
Absolutely. He's the guy. Because I remember last year when I had you on during the combine and stuff, we spoke extensively about Lamar Jackson. And you or me were much higher on him than most people all around the league, most other
Absolutely.
Reporters. We were higher on him than most. And now he's played a handful of games. And look, he's not the perfect player. Not even close. But you know what? The skill set he's got is damn good, and he's winning games.
That's all that counts to me.
That's all that counts.
Right? Wins and losses. Yep.
Wins and losses. Yep. He moves the ball. He makes the throws when he has to. He can run around a little bit, and he will improve in time as a pocket passer. I have no doubt about that. But, that's one guy I remember specifically you and me were talking about last year that we liked a lot, and he's making us look real good.
He sure is. I mean, if you just look at the film at Louisville, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Right? The guy can throw the football, and when it all comes down to it, he can run it.
Yep, absolutely. So this week you got the Miami Dolphins are playing at the Bills. Meaningless game for both teams. First off, what are your thoughts on Josh Allen so far? And what do you think about this week's game?
I think Josh Allen is who you saw in college. He's a guy that at times he'll wow you. And at other times you'll say, okay, what were you thinking? So I hope that you'll get more of, as time goes along in the NFL, more of a guy that's going to complete, you know, have a better completion percentage and get a little bit more accurate on a down-to-down basis. But I really like his ability to, when things break down, to find the rushing lanes. And to me, he's a little bit more creative than I gave him credit for as a runner. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future. It looks like the Bills have found their franchise quarterback, and we'll see what happens. But I am old enough to remember a time where Bills fans did not like their quarterback to run, but I digress. But I really think that the Bills will come away with this win here. Dolphins are headed to a hostile. They came up just short. The Bills came up just short, you know, against the Dolphins, at home, you know. So we'll see what happens there. But I really think that, the Bills will go ahead and Adam Gase his final loss as the Dolphins head coach.
I'm right there with you. I think the Bills, they probably should have won the last game. They got I think they had over 400 some yards of offense. Miami had like 180. I mean, they had almost 2-1 on yards. They just sort of outplayed Miami, but just came up a little bit short. I'm with you. I think they will win as well this week. Brandon, thanks so much for a few moments of your time. Everyone, be sure to check out the work of Brandon Howard at The Athletic and follow him on Twitter at bhoward_81. Brandon, have a nice holiday, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, down the road.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Take care.
You take care.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.